Now, I haven't hosted too many parties over the years, enough to kind of at least get into the flow of what might be happening in this gospel scene. You know, preparing a feast takes an awful lot of work. You know, you want to make sure that your friends receive the appropriate welcome. You know, so setting the table, cleaning the house, making sure that everything is kind of put out. You know, you have all of the crockery and cutlery that matches. You don't just use the ordinary stuff that you use when it's just you at home. And then, you know, just thinking, okay, I've got to schedule everything to make sure that the hors d'oeuvres are ready at the appropriate time. And then to make sure that, you know, the roast is cooking, to make sure it's going to be ready when the guests want it to be ready. But you can't put things out too soon, because then they'll get too hot or too cold, depending on what they are. So it's an awful lot of stress. And so I'm glad that I don't have to do it all too often. And, you know, poor Martha experiencing, we have no idea how much notice she got that Jesus and his disciples, not just Jesus, but this group of other people, at least the 12, if not more, there would have been the women who were traveling with them as well. So it was this huge crowd of people that turned up on her doorstep. So poor Martha. And then our first reading today, we get a very different example. I kind of imagine that Abraham, who's sitting here in the shade, in the heat of the day, it feels like he's kind of dozed off. He's having a bit of a nana nap at this point, because he suddenly looks up and there are three men approaching from the away. And so what does he do? You know, when you're kind of startled from your sleep, you're just suddenly kind of doing things. And he gets up, runs out to meet them. That's the first thing. You know, so there is this warm hospitality that Abraham is embodying at this point. And then he runs back to the tent. He runs to meet his wife, Sarah. He tells her, quick, hurry up. Go get some lumps of flour, whatever, and knead them together and to make three loaves. Now, my understanding is it takes a while to bake all this. So all of this has got to take some time. So, okay, we'll wash your feet in the meantime. We'll give you a little bit of sustenance to be able to make sure. Okay, come sit in the shade. And then he runs off out into the field and finds one of the cattle, finds one of the calves, and to slaughter it and to get it ready and prepare. So there's all this rushing around. And is Abraham criticized at any point in this? No. Abraham is celebrated because of his hospitality and the rushing and striving and all of this. So I'm sure Martha knew this story and she was thinking, look, all I'm doing is what Abraham, our celebrated father in faith, had done. So how could I be criticized for any of what I'm doing right now? And so often we get that sense in our lives when there's so many things happening. And we live in a world where there are so many demands that are placed upon us. You know, having to go to the clergy in service this week meant that some of my other projects had to be put on hold. And so on Friday, I was thinking, oh, great, I'll be able to, you know, to get onto some of these things. You know, I work in the tribunal, so it's preparing for a case this week, and then I'm doing my spiritual direction course, so having to try and sit to find time to do the reading, to write the assignments and things like that. But no, instead it was calls to the hospital and then calls to someone else who had died. And so it was all these things, you know, which are really crucial and important things to kind of do, but they, you know, interrupt all of the our best laid plans in the midst of things. And so Martha, as she rushes around, stressed out of her mind, anxious and filled with, you know, this kind of desire to do the best for Jesus, to honor him, just to serve him. And yet Mary is really quite bold, because in that world there were male spaces and there were female spaces. So the male spaces were there in the lounge room in that kind of traditional society. And so Jesus would have been there with his disciples, sitting, talking, teaching. And so Mary boldly goes in and sits herself there with the other disciples. She's making this extraordinary claim upon Jesus and about herself. So I'm sure some of what Martha's frustration was just the inappropriateness, the badness of what Mary was doing. And yet Jesus does not see it in those black and white terms, as we see so often in the life and ministry of Jesus, that he moves beyond the categories that we like to set up, that this is the right way to do it, that's the wrong way to do it. That no, in the life of Jesus, there's only ever one criteria that he applies to any situation, and that is simply the way of love. Is this about opening yourself to the richness of God's love for you? Is this about experiencing and encountering the tenderness of God's love? Will you find life and freedom in this? And Martha may have found that in her serving. She may have had that freedom to be able to experience it, but right in that moment, she was distracted, running around doing all kinds of things that she'd forgotten what her essence was. To serve is a beautiful thing. To be able to prepare a meal for others is a beautiful thing. But there's an appropriateness of a time and a place for everything. And in this situation, Mary chose the better part. Mary chose what was essential for her, to move boldly into that space where she could simply sit and rest and receive. And we need to do the same. We need to be reassured of the power of God's love and his tenderness. The only way that we can love the neighbor, as we were invited to last week in the parable of the Good Samaritan, is by taking that time to come and to sit at the feet of Jesus. We need that space in order to be refreshed and renewed and loved and to find that life and that goodness and that ability to really surrender ourselves into the power of what God is doing in this situation. So when we are invited into this place of hospitality, the Lord is always this guest, this welcoming presence. Sometimes it will be like Abraham experienced. Did you notice that there was this twist between the three men that turned up, and then he was addressed as a singular? And it seemed to be that Abraham knew. We don't know how. You know how he knew that it was the Lord himself who was there. It wasn't the bright, shining kind of sun. It wasn't kind of the angels or the halos or what. None of those things perhaps were there. But it was just this extraordinary openness that Abraham had developed because he'd sat at the feet of the Lord. He'd opened his heart to the power of God. And we need to do that. We need to take that time and that space to be shaped and formed by his love in order that we can welcome him, in order that we can recognize him, in order that we can be his people. So let's pray for that chance to really welcome the Lord, to make space to sit at his feet, to be formed and shaped by his love, so that we can indeed then go and serve our neighbor as well.